Hello, everyone. So it is time
to do our call on all things maintenance and whatnot. If you notice, there's a little hole in my wall back there. We did some cutting. I'm trying to install good cable. All right. If you want to get coached, now it's time to raise your hand. This is a maintenance and losing your last 20 pounds call. You can get coached on any of those topics. And if that's not you, you're welcome to stay. And I'm sure you can still learn. All right, Mary, you're up. How are you?
Hi, Karine.
Yeah, how can I help you today?
I would like to summarize my data for you and get your input on what to focus on next. I have a list of things that I think I should improve.
Somebody's poking me on my desk. I'm going to have to put my elbows on there twice. I about stabbed myself. Go ahead.
Okay, so I joined your program in January, so I'm at 145 pounds. So, and I had a goal of losing 25 pounds.
Okay.
Get to 120. And so I've been with you for 8.5 months, and over that time I've lost 6 pounds and I've yo-yoed over 2 more. So I got down to 8, now I'm back up and I've lost 6 net. So on my habit tracker stats, I've been greater, at least 95% on making my 24-hour plan, assessing it, getting my water, and doing my workout or personal development. And then the ones that are less than that are my sleep. I get 80% for the 7.5 hours or 7 hours plus. And then the key ones, I think, are following my plan and following the hunger scale all day, where I'm at 60%.
Yeah. And so that's the problem.
Yes.
60% doesn't lose weight.
Okay. And in fact, I was at 30% for the first 6 months. And then I was like, well, clearly this is far off from where I need to be. So I've gotten it up to 60, but it's obviously not 95.
What happens in the 40?
What
are we eating?
There are a couple of things going on. One is that I have a habit of putting kid leftovers on my plan, which is like a bucket for, so my kids are 2, 4, and 6, and they, you know, they don't eat everything on their plate, and I don't tell them to either. And
yeah.
So then I tell myself, well, I realized that that kind of opens a can of worms for me. So I started putting on my plan explicitly every day, am I going to have some kid leftovers?
Whoa. Why do you tell your kids not to finish their plate?
I don't tell them not to. I just tell them when you're full, if you're full, stop eating. If you're still hungry, eat some more.
Okay. So you don't want them overeating.
Right.
But you're like, but hey, let's not waste this food. Let mama do it for you.
Well, I did. Okay, I started putting in a container to eat tomorrow. Like, I don't throw it away, but at least sometimes I'll put on my plan, my breakfast.
But you do throw, no, let's not lie. You're throwing it away every time you eat it off plan.
Yes, I agree with that.
Completely throwing it away every single time, because now you're treating it like trash and you're treating your belly like a trash can for it.
Yes, it is wasted on my body, as you say. I think that's totally right.
It's wasted emotionally. Let me ask you this. Is that food so good that it's worth not losing your weight over?
No, it's not. In the moment, though, it's so easy to, well, I need to work on my thoughts around it, clearly, but I definitely, I think it looks good, it tastes good.
It does. That's not a problem. It looking good and it tasting good is not a problem. But you thinking that it looking good and tasting good is why you're eating it is the problem. That's not why you eat it.
Okay. Let me
ask you this. What are you telling yourself in the moment? I got to get something to clean my glasses because I can't sleep. See? Mm-hmm. So when you see that food and you're like, it just tastes so good. It looks so good. The kids didn't finish it. What are you saying to yourself in that moment? Like, what is the conversation typically like?
It's like, Sometimes it's like the same food. If I cook chicken tenders and I put that on my plan, I'll say, oh, well, that was on my plan. I ate my portion, but I didn't put quantity on my plan. Therefore, if I still have room.
You did put a quantity on your plan. Everybody has a quantity on their plan every single day. The second you're done and you've had enough, you've met the quantity. Like, listen to how you're talking about it. It's like, oh, rather than I'm just agreeing with myself. There's no quantities here. This is a problem. It's like, no, there is the there. This is when we say, like, no, we actually do have a quantity every single day. Have I had enough? Or am I just going to need to sit here and want this food?
Yeah.
That's my options.
Okay.
Why are we not just sitting there wanting it?
It is definitely a pattern at dinner time for me, as it is for a lot of people.
I know it's a pattern of, like, I don't want to sit and want something.
Yes.
I just want to eat it. And I'm choosing to, like, I have these thoughts, and I'm not really identifying what the real issue is. What is wrong with just sitting there and wanting it? Why not? If you've had enough food and you're eating what's on your plan, like, if all of that's happening, why is the next step not like, oh, this is the part of weight loss where I actually have to want something and know that I don't need it and work with myself and my relationship with myself on that part?
I agree. That's the work I have to do. I have to figure out how, because sometimes I think also, I know you've said that we have to enjoy the process on the way down or it's not going to stay off. And I've thought, well, I definitely would never sign up to do these four basics. Like, I enjoy seeing the scale to go down, but I don't enjoy sitting in discomfort, and I haven't figured out how to enjoy it on the way down.
Well, all right. So let's just say this. You're going to sit there and there's going to be a chicken tender. If you're going to be in discomfort, what does that look like for you? Let's make sure that you're actually in discomfort and you're not in torture. So a lot of times what I see people do is they're like, can't you just, like, where's my magic thought where I sit with food that I really want and it's just like, not a problem. This is the fun part. It's like, no, this is the part that's not fun yet. Because you haven't learned how to actually want something, say no, it not be as bad as you thought it would be, and then it gets easier. Right now, I think what's happening is like, I won't be in discomfort. Because I think you have these thoughts about what discomfort's going to be like for you.
Mm.
What is discomfort going to be like for you? Like, what is that going to, let's identify like where your brain automatically goes. Because whatever your brain is doing, if it creates a story around, I'm going to sit with chicken tenders, I'm going to know that I've had enough food, but I'm still going to want to eat it. It's still going to look good. I know it's going to taste good. I just ate some chicken tenders. I know exactly how good they are. Like, all of that's going to happen. But there's a difference between being with that and it be uncomfortable because you know it's just a want and a desire. And then there's being with it and hating it, wishing this was not here, and having anxiety because you don't want to do this part. When all of that's going on, that's the part that is the suffering aspect of it. We don't even get to discomfort yet. It's like, I'm suffering over the idea I'm not going to have this. I have this false expectation that it's just going to be, like, somebody out there is doing it and it's easy. Why am I not doing that yet? That's the hard part, the part that feels like yuck. And so if we can get rid of that, actual just sitting with the chicken tender stuff is literally just, yeah, I know I want it.
I don't recall feeling tortured. I definitely feel discomfort sitting with it.
So what's it like, though? Like, tell me the inner conversation. Do you know what your inner conversation is?
The thoughts that I've noticed are, it's just a little, it won't matter. I could pretend.
But what are your thoughts to that? Like when you say it won't matter, it's just a little.
Mm-hmm.
What are you saying back to that is the question.
You know, a couple times when I've succeeded in resisting, I've,
We never succeed resisting. Remember?
Okay. Okay. When I've stopped myself from eating the little bit, it's when I've told myself, remember the chasing cupcakes and how the little things are exactly what matter the most.
Okay.
When I
you tell yourself that every time?
No. No.
What do you tell yourself the other times?
The other times, I think it is just a little. How could it matter over the course of my day's intake of food? I still, if I think really hard.
So tell me this, how does it matter?
I think it creates a gateway for me to overeat over time. I think it becomes part of a pattern of me not forming a solid habit of stopping when I should stop.
Yeah. So that is the answer. Like when your brain goes, how could this matter? You have to give it the answer. Because here's what your brain's answer is. It doesn't. Like our brains. So what I always like to tell you guys is be mindful of the questions that you ask yourself. So like when we're pulling apart, like, what are you thinking? Like, what conversation do you remember having with yourself? When you do your own thought work around it, pull out those questions and then answer them on purpose. Because what's happening is if you don't answer it on purpose, the habit brain always has an answer. And it's like, how could a little bit even matter? And your habit brain just like, it won't. You know what? Tomorrow you work out, you could do a little extra. Like your habit brain will have a convenient answer every single time that says, you should eat the chicken tender. That is the answer to all of our problems right now. Like we're in just a little bit of discomfort and pain. So we need to solve that. And the solve is not anything but you eating a chicken tender. So I will just answer all the bullshit for you. So that's one thing you can start doing is making sure that every time you have an overeat, I want you to like write down the specific things that you are thinking. And if a question is popping into it, I want you to have an answer that's written out on paper, because then your brain now has a new thing to catalog. Doesn't have just the old story. Like, well, here's how it does matter. I know that it opens up the door to me eating. And I mean, you'll have to answer this several times, but it opens up the door to me eating. I notice that whatever your actions are, I plan a little looser, or, you know, I notice that I start trying to put extra food on my plan as if that's a good way to solve this problem. It's like when the real problem is I need to get comfortable with wanting something and then not having it.
Okay. Thanks. I'll work on that. I did write down a few other things that are not in the habit tracker, but are like things that I think might be contributing to my stall, which are, discovery worksheets. I do those inconsistently. My journaling is probably like once a week. I don't know if it needs to be higher, but yeah. And then
I would journal more for sure.
One more. Okay. Let me just tell you the others and then maybe you can tell me which ones to focus on first.
Okay.
So I can prioritize. I don't fill out the entire plan and assessment sheets. I typically fill out just the food portion and call it a day. And then,
why is that? Why do you think?
Because I feel like that's the vital part. And, I tend to be repetitive in my answers for the other ones. And I feel like, oh, well, my goals are the goals that I had yesterday. And I'm still grateful for my family and my,
So let me just ask you a curious question. So if you write down your goal every, it's the same one as yesterday. Do you ever just think like, wow, I should really journal why every single day I have the same goal, but I haven't achieved it yet?
That sounds like a good idea. Yes.
That's why it's important to do all the prompts in the planner. Let me ask you this too. What harm is it to remind yourself that you're grateful for your family every day?
Oh, definitely no harm. And
so why not just do it?
Because I look at the section, I'm like, oh, I know what it is. So why should I write it down? And remember that I am grateful for my family.
Well, why don't you challenge yourself to be grateful for other things? Have you ever thought about being grateful for another day of sitting with an urge? Could you imagine? Like if you were actually going to start practicing gratitude for figuring out how not to eat chicken tenders at night?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I think when you think about, like, for all of you that are listening to this, when you're using the planner and you're using those prompts, do not just go through them and not make them important. Look for the things like, so like if you have your planner and it says, I like these things about me today, and you really want to stop overeating at night so that you can lose your weight, then you need to like the version of you that tried again today. You need to like you focus all of your answers and questions around the very thing that you're working on. The days that you don't eat the chicken tenders, you should put on there, what I like about me today is I didn't eat the food that my kids didn't finish today.
Okay.
We need to get, that to me seems like the biggest offender that you could start with is like literally stop eating at that meal. Like get so good at like, I'm going to plan. I'm going to look forward to my meal. I'm really, you could even put down, what am I grateful for today? The food I put on my plate and the food that I don't eat on others' plates.
Okay.
Keep it top of mind. So layers are focused so that when you're going into dinner, you clearly see and clearly understand everything. I promise you, when you write more about it like that, you make all of this go around that one thing, it's like dinner will slow down for you.
Mm.
You'll hear things that you didn't know you were thinking, and you'll have a choice. The more you do that work around it, what ends up happening is those usual excuses. This actually happened to me last week. This is how I know this happens. I've been doing a lot of work around, I will never drink again because I had a bad day. I'm not going to just go have a glass of wine because I had a bad day. If I'm going to drink, it's going to be intentional and connected and fun. And it's going to be the wine that I want. Like it's going to be the experience. I've just decided this. And so I've been writing about this. And I was in my car driving back from Kroger. And I wanted to have a drink because I'd had a really bad day. And I thought, you know what, Chris and I hadn't gone out this week. Let's just do our date night tonight. And then there was this other part of me that came swooping in. And she said, I don't know. Like, do we really want to be drinking when we're tired? And like, you know, you might not even have a good time. Like, I literally was having two parts of my brain just having a discussion about who I wanted to be in that moment. And there was no way that I could have had that experience had I not spent a few weeks writing about who I wanted to be, who I was grateful to be. My brain remembered it at that moment when I needed it. So that's what I want you to do, Mary, is like, I want you to take your planner and I want you to start using it as like, I am planning and I'm going to really tackle dinner. Every question that I answer, everything is going to be focused around me being the successful version that follows her plan at dinner. You do that, then probably any other things that are going on, it probably will solve the rest of them too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what I'll start with. And I need, as you said, to get up the following the plan and hunger scale up to 95%. Like, is one more important to tackle first, would you say? Or
I would start, like, honestly, I would quit cleaning your kids' plates.
Okay.
I think you, like I'm always all about, like, let's just find something that you're doing that you can put all your energy and effort to, because none of them are more important than any of the others.
Mm.
It's it's not so much like, if I do this one, I'll lose more weight faster. It's more about, if you get real intentional with one of them and you go through the process of thinking about it and engaging your conscious brain when you're eating, making decisions for yourself, for your future self, and being able to like delay, like, you know, I really want this chicken tender, but I'm willing to delay scratching that itch for feeling really good about myself in a few days because I keep following plans. When that happens, those skills start translating everywhere. Like the next thing to work on gets easier because you've laid the groundwork down for those things.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Karen.
I want you planning, but I want to give you one other hint. If you will please listen to module 3 of the brand new No BS, it's going to be enlightening for you. I want you to do all of No BS, but the overeating part, but the urges and sitting with want and sitting with desire, brand new content in there. I think it's the best I've ever done. So if you want to, I give you permission to skip modules 1 and 2 for now, go straight to 3, and then you can go back.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Karen. Thanks for everything you do.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right. Jacqueline, hey guys, if you want coaching, don't forget to raise your hand. This is the 20 pounds or less call or maintenance call. Hey, Jacqueline, how are you?
Nervous. This is my first coaching call.
It's a good thing I'm in a bad mood today.
Oh gosh.
I'm in a bad mood. What can I help you?
So I've had this goal. So I joined in January and my goal was for the year to be at 125 pounds for 2 months. Okay. And I set my range at like 128 to 118 pounds because I don't know, I feel good and I can maintain 128 pretty regular.
So 125 to 128, is that what you said?
118. So 118, I did the
I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. 118 to 128?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So I'm kind of getting towards the end of the year, and I really haven't hit that goal for my weight. Like, I think I hit, like, 1 week in March and 1 week in May, and then there's even been a few times where I'm even out of my range, and I'm like, trying to figure out if I'm being unrealistic and I
but
should.
But where are you now?
Last week, I think I weighed in at 128.8, so I still consider myself in maintenance.
Yeah, I would too. For sure. How much weight have you lost?
I think like overall it was 35 pounds.
Good for you.
Most of it was with Weight Watchers, so I have to like try to get out of that. I joined when
I don't care if you did it with Weight Watchers or with me. Good for you on showing up for yourself.
Oh, thank you.
Figuring it out. So, like, yeah. I don't care where you're doing it. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah, I just feel like I beat myself up and I had all these bad mental thoughts doing it. So now I'm trying to correct my mind around weight. And
do you think your problem is?
Well, my overeating, like my stress eating, my wanting to eat when I'm not hungry, and like my just, you know, my fuck it days.
Okay.
So I know like if I got those in check, this would be easy for me.
I don't know if it would be. You don't sound like someone who's talking like any of it's going to be easy for her. It sounds like you're making all this pretty excruciating. It's like, well, I didn't really lose it with you, Corinne. I don't really get any kudos. And, you know, I beat myself up and all this other stuff. How much time do you spend being proud of yourself?
Probably not a lot. Like, and I don't even do that, like, for other people. Like, that's one of my goals for my job is just to give kudos to, like, everybody because I kind of live in the future. I'm like, well, this is where I want to be. How am I going to get there? Like, I don't think about the past.
But it's not the past. You're not even thinking about the present.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, why, like, if you want to get to where you want to go, like, you today is the one getting you there. So you today has to be willing to be excited about you today, proud of you today, motivating the you of today, because you today has to do the work, or future self doesn't ever happen.
Right.
She can't be happy. She can't do anything until, like, you fucking like yourself.
Yeah, I did sign up for camp, so I'm super excited about that, because I think I did kind of go into this and I'm like, you know what, I don't have bad images, I have a positive attitude all the time, but then, like, I'm going through this, I'm like, I think I just lie to myself, and I don't like liars, so maybe I don't even like myself, you know?
I think that this is so interesting, because a lot of people, like, I'm this way, okay? I will just, like, this is the work that I do. I swear to God, everybody that comes on a call, I'm like, oh my God, I totally agree. But I do this work. I am a future self whore. Like, I could just sit and do goals and, like, look into the future and make plans and do all the things. And I'll feel really good and excited. Yeah. But what I have learned is that feeling really good and excited about the goal doesn't mean I'm learning how to feel really good and excited about me. I'm really excited about how I'll think about myself when I reach the goal. And that's the disconnect. So that's why it's important for A types, high achievers, or future self, or daydreamers, any of us that live kind of in that. What we miss is we miss the present. And how comfortable are we with ourselves today, talking about ourselves like, you know, I'm really proud of these things about me. These are my strengths. Today, these are the things I did right. If I overeat, where can I find my lesson without it meaning like, well, I'm not getting to my goal like I said I would? Like, how do, like, sometimes also there are some people that will not necessarily beat the fuck out of themselves. Like, we've got people who so self-loathe and are so uncomfortable, they can't even speak up. And they're so just downtrodden and oppressed by themselves and society and everything that they can't even talk about it. Then there's, like, this other group of us that we don't necessarily slap ourselves around, but we're not great to ourselves either. We don't treat ourselves extraordinary. We don't treasure ourselves. Like, we're just kind of in the middle, being ourselves and not getting to feel the full effect of who we are, which is still not practicing good self-love.
Yeah. And I think it comes up because, like, last night I didn't sleep very well because I kind of woke up in the middle of the night thinking about global warming and how I'm not doing enough for global warming. And I'm like, where is this coming from? But I'm like, I recycle. Like, yeah, I should probably give myself credit for, you know, I do walk to the store every once in a while. And yeah, true.
I think that so with your fuck it eats and all that kind of stuff, when you just like your, I guess it's called affect. I think that's the name. But basically, when you were describing it, you didn't describe it as, oh, I've identified everything I need to work on. It's just a matter of time. I'm pulling them apart. I'm going to do my discovery worksheets and blah, blah, blah. I would just like help on this. It was more like, well, I know my problem. I got discovery worksheets and my fuck it eating. I mean, you said it as if it was a stain on your humanity. And you said it as if, like, and this is what a thought that I want you to think about. You said it as if you think, and this is why I'm not at my goal.
True.
Now, it is why you're not at your goal, but are behind that statement, is it like, I've identified why I'm not at my goal and I'm all in on figuring this out? Or is it, this is why, and I'm not getting my shit together when I thought I would?
I mean, I can see a little bit of progress because I have less days. I'm more apt to have a bad day and come back from it. Like, good. I had a bad day on Monday, but I've been pretty good ever since. You know, like yesterday I overeat at dinner, but I still was on plan.
Why do you call it a bad day?
I don't know. I don't know what, like, because I guess that's probably where my mind goes.
Does that feel good to describe it as a bad day? How does it feel when you say, I had a bad day?
Like, it doesn't feel terrible, like, because in my mind, I'm
but
like,
how does it feel?
I
had a bad day on Monday.
Well, because, it doesn't feel great because I know what happened, like, that day. Like, so.
Oh, that's not why it doesn't feel great. It's because of a thought.
Right.
That's how you tried to loop it back to. The overeating is why I feel bad. Versus something's going on in my mind about that. That's why I'm asking you, because every time we talk about the overeating, you immediately start figuring out ways to worm in some shame and judgment. And like, it's a bad thing. Just telling you, it's a bad thing. We just need to make sure we stay in the land of, we don't like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, I just want you to be really aware of it. Because the only thing that's, I think the only thing that's really standing in the way of you and being in the range that you want to be in is the relationship you have with your overeats. Are you going to use them as a tool to figure out your thinking and your relationship with yourself? Or are you going to just use them as like, I'm going to have to just make myself get better at this because this is standing in the way. This is a problem. This is my bad days. You're describing them harshly. Rather than describing them as very just like, this is part of my process. Like, I'm going to totally embrace that when I overeat, my job is to figure out the conversations that I need to have. My job is to figure out the reasons, the patterns, the stuff. Like, you notice how, like, when I talk about it that way, it's like we're going to work on a project.
Yeah, and I guess where I get the beat down is because I keep repeating the same things. Like, remember last week's overeat? It was because you thought that you did good all day and you wanted to be satisfied so you didn't have to go into the kitchen after you wanted to close it.
Yeah. So, and then what do you learn from that? Like, tell me what you, like, that one's the one that keeps happening. What are your insights about that conversation that you had? You've been good all day. I love the way you have a lot of, I'm either good or I'm bad.
Yeah.
You're going to get a lot out of camp.
You know. Well, and like, yeah, maybe I just need to expand my vocabulary. I would say, like, when I started, I did a lot of TDLs and I've got away from that. So maybe I need to work more on those because then I can level up the thoughts and I haven't been working on that like I should. So that's definitely a takeaway. But,
yeah, that's one, but I want you to think about it. Like, what do you learn from that one experience you keep having? I was good all day, and then I thought I deserve it. Is that what the thought was?
Yeah. So, like, when I repeat my same thought patterns, like, I guess the beat down comes because I feel like I'm not learning. Like, obviously.
Right. So that's why I'm challenging you right now. You might not be. Maybe you're only learning right now, like, I need to pay attention to this sentence. But what are you learning from the sentence is my question.
Well, I'm learning from the sentence that I probably, like you said, I need to live in the present. Because even, like, when I'm eating, I eat really quick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not really present with my food all the time. Like, I have to be very conscious about slowing down and tasting the food. And like, I loved what you said this morning about, like, even thinking about, why am I planning this? Why am I eating this? Like, mm-hmm. I don't put too much thought into that. I just try to make it easy so I can get to the next minute.
Yeah, I think that, so let me tell you what I gather from your sentence when you say, I've been good all day, fuck it, I deserve it. If you, like, so I want you to think about this. I want you to write about what made me good all day. And do I like thinking about myself as like, these are the things that make me a good person? Because on the days those don't happen, am I going to assume I'm a bad person?
Right.
Whenever we think we are good, We also have days that we allow ourselves to think we are bad. The other part is when anybody says, I deserve it, I know 100% that you're going through your day doing things that you think you should be doing, but not giving yourself any credit. You're just checking shit off left and right.
Right.
And making yourself do most of it. Because if you went through the day feeling super deserving because of everything you tell yourself about you and how you're acting all day long, and like, look at me, I'm like knocked off my list. Look at me, I finished this. Like, I over celebrate every little thing that I do on my list. So at the end of the day, I feel very rewarded. I don't need food to reward myself for getting through another day. So that's what I like. When you see those sentences, I want you to get back to your thought downloads and your journaling. Because when you see repeat sentences, you need to dig into, what is this sentence really telling me about how I'm thinking about myself? It's not just about the food. Sometimes we can see a sentence and we can hear it, and then we can be like, oh yeah, like if somebody says, I just want it, right? That's one of those sentences we have to get really good at hearing. And then the next step is to get really good at reminding ourselves other things that we want and get good at wanting something and not having it. Some sentences like, you were so good today, you deserve to eat something, is like a red flag that we're not treating ourselves in a very deserving manner all day long. Our brain has been wore out by ourselves all day by the way that we're getting motivating ourselves. Most of the time we're forcing ourselves to do stuff, shoving ourselves into doing things, expecting ourselves to do stuff. And we're not really doing it from like, of course I'm going to do this because I'm really good at it. Oh my gosh, did you see me just do that? Like, you just talk to yourself like that all the time. It kind of sounds ridiculous until you start realizing how good it fucking feels. Then you feel like a power player and you're not eating anymore. And you're just like, shit. What did I just do, you know?
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. You'll get a lot out of camp. But I want you to, like, I want you to listen for the next few days to everything that you tell yourself. It may even seem overwhelming. You probably will hear the way you talk to yourself and be like, wow, I didn't even know that I was saying that. And it won't be like throat punches left and right. It'll be little things that just won't feel great. It's like, I could feel better about my day real easy by acknowledging when I finish something. That when I think I've been good all day, it's like, hell yeah, here's all the things I did today. That's awesome of me. All right, Jacqueline.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. All right. Lisa? Shear? We got a good amount of them, Dana. But they came out of the woodwork. Look at that big Coca-Cola. Ask Shanna. Or share one with Shanna. Shanna Pizer, for some reason I promoted you. I'm not sure why. Hang on. It was supposed to be Lisa Shear. You there, Lisa?
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, what are we coaching on?
Well, with you, thank you. I've lost about 25 pounds.
Awesome.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
And I have 8 more pounds to go to get to my goal, which is 150 pounds. And I just know that if I were to get to that goal, I would have more energy and I'd feel better in my skin and I'd look better in my clothes.
Okay.
But the more and more I'm realizing is that it's just the thing that I've come to a conclusion with is that I really don't get to eat that much if I really want to get to that weight. I've realized that I just don't get to eat as much as I used to. And that's...
You're smaller.
Yeah. Yeah. And...
Like, little cars have little gas tanks for a reason. They don't... Like, in a Kia, the little one, they don't put an Escalade gas tank in it for a reason.
Yeah. So that's what I'm coming to terms with, and...
What's the problem?
Yeah, I do miss eating some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches once in a while. And
why are you not planning a peanut butter and jelly? Wait a minute. There's a difference between I don't get to eat as much and now I have to cut these foods out. I eat peanut butter and jelly all the time.
I've noticed that if I eat the whole sandwich and I load it up, I do gain weight. So I think I need to just, I have been writing it down, but I think I just need to eat half.
Okay, eat half a sandwich and see what happens. Yeah. What's the problem with that?
Well, I do miss the whole sandwich.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. Don't you think that's just because you're used to eating a whole one and eventually your brain will normalize? Hey, how much did you used to eat?
Yeah, I used to eat that with chips and a drink.
Do you, like, miss all the volumes of food you used to eat? Are you just, like, sitting around all the time going, like, man, I used to eat so much. Like, where are those days coming back?
Yeah.
Do you? I want to know for sure.
I do miss being able to eat a lot of cookies at once and a lot of ice cream at once.
Do you really?
When I think about my future self, I don't.
So you don't really miss it. This is really important to pay attention to. Because like in your brain somewhere, there's a version of you like, I miss eating all the cookies that I want. But then when I push you on it, you're like, well, no, because, you know, of all these other reasons. So you have to remind yourself like, you know what? I don't really even miss that.
Yeah.
There was and a that's part what I of do me that liked it. But I've also learned to like all this stuff now.
Yeah. So that's what I'm learning with you. And the journal, it makes you ask, what will you be thinking instead of, I can't remember what it exactly says, but there's a journal prompt on the, not the assessment, but the daily journal. Yeah. And that's helped me realize that if one extra bite will get me less closer to my goal.
Like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen if you have to eat a half a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
And I might go to bed hungry. I might go to bed hungry.
You might.
Mm-hmm.
You might not.
Yeah.
You might find out you need 3/4.
Yeah.
You might find out that you don't need to load it up. You could just put a little less peanut butter on there and it might be just as good. I mean, like, think about all the things that might happen. Like, I always love to ask, like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? If the worst thing is going to happen is one night you'll go to bed hungry and figure out it wasn't enough, isn't it kind of worth finding that out so you can the next day plan until you get to where you're planning and adjusting to a place that you love?
Yes.
That, I think, is the problem, is that we don't think about it that way.
Okay.
We just think about, if I want to weigh 150, I'm not going to be able to eat as much as I want.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you'll always be able to eat as much as you want because you'll figure out how to want the amount that gets you to 150.
Yes.
That's the thought to adopt, not I'm not going to be able to eat how much I want and then wonder why it's so hard to get to your goal. Is to sit there and think like, no, it's just going to take me some time and I'm going to fall in love with the amount of food and figure out how much that's going to take.
Yeah. Yes.
Peanut butter and jelly is the best thing that's ever happened to all of us.
What did you say?
Peanut butter and jelly is the best thing that's ever happened to all of us.
Such a little treat. Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's like one of my, like, on nights when I really just want something sweet for dinner, I can make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and have some cashew milk and just be like, I have arrived.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Karen? Y'all, this is so funny to me to listen to Chris and call in one room and me on the call in the other. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What are we coaching on? You know you're going to have to sit down and I'm going to throw up all over this desk.
Sorry. I want to coach on. I got three kids doing school live, so I have to lock myself in the bedroom. I want to coach on the last 60 days. Like 60 days ago, I set my goal to get to my goal.
Okay.
I have about 15 more pounds. And now I weigh a little bit more than I did 60 days ago. So I got my new planner in the mail and I started to write the 60-day goal again. And I was like, damn, this is exactly what I wrote 60 days ago. And I made no progress. But I didn't meet the goal. Like, I want
to. Oh, my God. But why are you going to do all that to yourself? Let me ask you this. When you think, I didn't meet the goal, I made no progress, how does that feel?
Feels bad.
Yeah. So why are you thinking like that?
Well, right.
You know it's not true. It's your perception of the last 60 days.
Right. Right.
Let me ask you this.
That's true.
What if you thought, so I just went through the last 60 days. It's time to find out what I learned so that I can make the goal this 60 days.
Yeah. That would be good.
Productive.
Right. And instead of writing down, I'm going to lose 15 pounds in 60 days, I wrote 8 pounds, you know, a pound a week. That's more realistic. Okay.
That's fine. But here's what I want you to think about, though, before we even get into all this. If you just, like, sit there and say, like, well, I didn't meet that one, blah, 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 you're more likely to pull, like, I'm glad you adjusted the goal, but it doesn't matter if you adjust the goal. If you don't adjust and show up the next 60 days, then you're going to need to write another goal in 60 days. It's going to be exactly the same. It's what did I learn in that 60-day span that can help me with this next 60 days? That's what I need to figure out, because this next 60 days, I got to do it different than the last time. I can't go in with the same mindset. I can't go in with the same thoughts. I can't continue. Like, right. I need to identify when am I eating? Like, what stopped my weight loss? Make a list of that stuff and then tackle them one at a time during the week.
Yeah.
So tell me something that you know you need to work on. Besides thinking about your last 60 days like shit.
Well, to my plan. I'm good about making the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, not total shit. Like, I've been planning most every day and assessing. And so it's not total shit, but, and I've been working out consistently, but just the scale doesn't look where I want it to be, you know, so. And yeah, also that it's disappointing. Like, I want to be done. I want to be done and be like that person that I envision myself being.
Who do you envision yourself being? Tell me.
This person, you know, at her goal weight, someone who's calm and collected. And
she's calm and
not overwhelmed.
Okay.
Yeah. Confident. I like the confident and, you know, in charge of her life.
So you do know that you're going to have to be that version right now. You can't be overwhelmed, self-doubtyville, out of control, and be like, I need to be that version of me until I lose the weight, and then I'll get to be in charge, and then I get to be all these other things.
Right. Right. I know that.
No, you don't know it.
But it's making it happen.
Yeah, so tell me how you're going to be calm.
Right.
Like, you're going to need to practice, like, how am I going to be calm in the moments that I want to eat? I need strategies. I need plans for being calm in those moments and collected. So in the moments that I'm wanting, like whatever it was, whatever overeating patterns, you need to go back to your 60 days. You need to look at it. So like, here's all the patterns of my overeats. These are the times. These are the feelings. Mm-hmm. These are the thoughts. These are the environmental cues. These are all the things that like, just identify your top five.
Yeah.
And then pick one of the top five and like get to know it really well. Like it's usually this time. It's usually these sentences. It's usually these feelings, blah, blah, blah. My future self, how does she act in those moments? If she's calm and in charge, what is she telling herself? What would she be thinking in the moment when shit's hitting the fan and a donut just came flying through the room at her? Mm-hmm. You have to put yourself into that mindset of like, find those moments where when it's hard for you and figure out like, why is it so hard? What am I thinking in those moments that my future self, like, because here's the thing, what is your name again? But it always takes my names off. I can't see your name.
Karen.
The problem that you're going to run into is that your future self is going to have the same life as you. So whatever you're eating over now,
right,
she's going to have the same experiences. And you got to teach her how not to eat through that. She's not going to just say no because right. She's reached her goal weight. She reached her goal weight because she right. learned how to not eat through those experiences and then can stay there because now she knows how not to eat through it. So tap into that.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Right, so I think a lot of it, what you were saying to the board too about, you know, going through the day, counting up the wins instead of, I kind of tend to push myself all day. Like, you got to get this done and this done and this done and that. And so there's no, like when you talk about the relief, like I need to find ways to give myself that relief. So then it's not, I come in the door at night and I want to eat or have an alcoholic beverage, right?
You have to do that mentally during the day. I want all of you to listen to me when I say this. When we say you're going to need relief, I do not want you thinking, oh, that means that during the day I need to take my breather and I need to go for a nature walk and I need to do this other shit. That crap doesn't work unless your mind is set up for it to work. Otherwise, you'll go for a walk, you know, to take your breather and to give you some relief. And the entire time you're walking, you're only thinking about the shit you're not doing. That's not a mental break.
Though right,
if you are wanting to eat at night, I promise all of you, it is because of some bullshit expectations and running tape that's going on all day long. Did you do Thought Boot Camp?
No.
You should.
I didn't know.
You should.
I will.
That one. That I didn't will know. Solve this nighttime eating.
I'll do that. And I just started the Nootopia.
Yeah.
Well, I think it is the nighttime.
Awesome. But you could just listen to the four videos. I don't know why my hair suddenly has a gap in it. It's driving me crazy. But you could listen to Thought Boot Camp and be done in like an hour. And it will highlight.
Oh, that's the four videos.
Right? Yes.
Okay. I'll work on that.
I think anybody that goes home, this is not for my newbies. If I have newbies on this call, this is not for you. Anybody who's on this call, listening to the words coming out my mouth, if you notice that at night you're needing to get relief or I deserve it eating or any of that kind of eating where you need to take a break, Thought Boot Camp is good because what it does is it shows you how all day long you're setting yourself up. Basically, it's like think of a bathtub and you pull the plug out and you drain all the water. The water is all of your emotional bandwidth that you have. And so all day long, it's just circling around the thing. And by the time you get home, you got an empty bathtub. And so you need to refill it. And you're refilling it with food. So during the day, the only way that we can stop the bleeding and stop it is we've got to level up how you're thinking through the day. You got to figure out, where am I sucking my energy out of myself all day long just with my thinking? A lot of times just sitting around allowing yourself to be like, there's so much to do. Like it's a depleting thought that we think over and over again. that we need to change? Like, rather than thinking, I have so much to do, it's like, no, I don't have so much to do. Here's what I have. The next thing. What's the next thing? There's no sense in thinking about all the things if I'm only going to do them one at a time anyway. I have to train myself not to overwhelm myself by thinking of everything I need to do and how fast I need to get it done. And for God's sakes, I better do it perfect too. I think you froze. All right. I think we're frozen on that one. Okay. That was good. All right. Let's do one more. Shanna. All right, Shanna. Here we go. All right. What are we coaching on?
Hello.
Hey.
I reached goal today.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I've written I weigh 150 pounds as my number one goal for the past 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So, and the first year I wrote it every day feeling like a fraud because I wasn't doing anything about it. And then, of course, I found you and life changed. So how do you, and I'm signed up for life coach school. So I have like, I
oh,
know,
good for you.
Thank you. I'm like, I can't even believe I did that. That has been a goal for 4 years or a dream, not even a goal, a dream. But how do you transition out of that? Like even this morning I wrote, I weigh 150 pounds, kind of still in that mentality that it's still a goal, but it's not because I freaking did it.
It takes a little bit of time to get used to not pursuing the goal anymore. Your brain is used to like, this is the goal. This is the goal. This is the goal. It's like there's this moment where you have to kind of let the goal land. And it takes a few weeks. And so I would, if I was you, one of the things that I would do is start writing, like, I'm in maintenance now. And here's all the ways that I will never have to worry about my weight again. Like, I would talk about, here's how I'm going to be the best maintainer ever. Just whatever you like, whatever that new identity with maintenance you want it to be, you need to journal about it every day, talk about it. I know you're excited because you hit it today, but is there any like fears or worries, or is there anything that like you want to touch on? Or
so I guess a little bit, I have like my food is dialed in. Like the foods that I eat, I really don't, like I don't have ice cream. I really don't have desserts or snacks or anything like that on my plans on a regular basis.
And why? What is your reason?
Because I feel good without it.
Okay. So that's fine. That's a good reason.
I want wine.
Then we need to start planning wine.
And I do. I do. Okay. I have that on the plan. A couple weeks ago, I was like, no wine until 150. Like that's my end. And it, I don't know. Is that bad restriction?
Because it feels bad.
And it doesn't. It doesn't.
Okay. It does. It's not a problem. Like you always gut check things with like, how does it feel? Like when you say no wine until like, just ask yourself. So why didn't I want to plan wine? And it was it because I want to get to 150?
Because I want to get to 150. And because one of the patterns that I notice is if I drink wine with a meal, or if there's food involved in the wine, then I tend to overeat. And so that's something that I have been totally working on and realized that back in April from my habit tracker.
So I think that's awesome. I mean, look how smart you are to notice your patterns, prioritize your goals, figure things out.
Yes. I guess maybe, and I have never even considered it, but there might be a little bit of fear. Like, what if I have a regular bowl of ice cream and not Halo Top and don't want to stop? I don't know.
So what if? What if you have a regular bowl of ice cream and suddenly your brain is like, there's no stopping. Let's just not stop. Do you think that that's possible? Like realistic, or is it just a fear?
I don't know. Since you asked me about fears, that's what popped in.
Yeah, but that's the difference. Like,
so yeah, but I mean, I know realistically I would catch it.
Yeah, that's the story you need to be telling. So your brain is wanting to, because maintenance is new.
Yeah.
What is the thing that our brain hates? Uncertainty. Yes. You've gone from something very sure, which is you were so focused and so sure of losing weight. This is who, blah, blah, blah. Your identity is very set as a dieter, basically, like a weight loss person, right? Yeah. And I get this. Totally get it. Now, it's like, we're not a dieter anymore. We're in maintenance. And although it's exciting, it's scary. Your brain starts going like, well, now we're going to need to put in all the controls because you would probably just eat all the things. And blah, blah, blah. Like your brain just, if it's not directed, it just goes to like, I'm afraid. I don't know who I am. So now I'm just going to organically create shit for you. And our brains are terrible at it. Because it's only going to create from being afraid. So now you've got to come in as the conscious version of you. It's like, it's okay. I get why you're afraid. We've never been here before, or we haven't been here in a long time. Whatever's going on, we haven't done it this way. But now I'm going to consciously lay out who we're going to be. That's why I wanted you to start doing the journaling. So like when your brain populates some bullshit like, what if we eat regular ice cream and never stop? You just say like, it's just like who we are, and you write about that's not who we are, and you plan to have that first bowl of ice cream and you eat it like a maintenance person, like you eat it with the mindset that you're creating, and then you start doing that often enough that your brain sees the success, your brain starts calming down, it starts understanding, and then it starts formulating that mindset. The worst thing somebody can do when they're in maintenance is to just get there and not decide who they are. They just stay a dieter. And then they start kind of like, you go from being someone who is, you know, motivated and focused and all this other stuff to now someone who's like, I got to hang on to this. Something's going to go wrong. And then you're acting out of fear. And then like having Halo Top or not having the wine will go from a choice to feeling restricted. That's how that all changes. It's not the actions. It's always the thinking that changes.
Yeah. And I have been very intentional about in my journaling, like nothing's going to change. When I hit 150, nothing. And I think that might be a little bit of the issue too. Like nothing changes. Everything stays the same. I still keep writing my plan and paying attention to my hunger, but I feel like there should be like fireworks and, you know, like where's the marching band?
Right. Well, and that all has to happen in your brain. Like yes, that's why we want to journal.
And it absolutely has.
Yeah. But that is the whole thing. That's why like sometimes people get sort of sad when they hit their goal. It's because you've looked forward to it for so long. We have, you know, in our mind, it's like, oh my God, I'm going to be so happy. And like, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you're happy. But then it's like you immediately start conditioning to being at 150. Yes. The high goes away. The excitement starts going away. And then it suddenly just becomes who you are. And it's then you're just like, whoa, I'm still just doing life over here. Whoa, I'm still just making a plan. Oh, my God, I still have urges. Oh, sometimes I'm still afraid of some foods. Like you just, that's why I tell people we want to work on our mindset all the way down. Because if we don't, we get there and there is no marching band.
I mean, just like everybody else, every diet in the past, I remember the fear all the way down the scale. Every day, am I going to be able to maintain this? No, I'm not. When is it going to come back? And that none of that is here. This is it. This is life. So that's, yeah.
This is awesome. I know you're already proud of yourself. I'm proud of you. Now what we want to do is we want to get busy on you. Like, I would literally for the next 30 days write about who you are now and talk about it as I am a maintenance person. I'm never going back. There's no reason. And I'd also figure out what your next goal is. Brains don't like a lot of idle time. Oh yeah, you got life coach school. You got one. So there you go. And we'll see. There's something that you could do. You could also journal about how you're going to go through life coach school and be someone who would never be so stressed, who would never, whatever your old eating patterns were, I've solved all of it. I've taken care of all of it.
And I think the writing
for it.
Yeah. And I think writing the maintenance thing every day for a month will be good because it's weird. The thought of not writing down that I weigh 150 pounds, there's almost a little bit of sadness to it, that's weird.
I would just put I weigh 150 pounds and will be a life coach.
There you go. Well, that's definitely on there too. Yeah,
but I mean, it'll just be.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be good.
Awesome.
All right. Congratulations.
So I appreciate you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, that's it for today. Don't forget our newbies are coming. It'll be awesome. I think some of them are on the call now. This was a coaching call for all of you that are here. This is what we call group coaching. So we have calls. People raise their hand. I call on them, and then I teach them. We don't see you. We don't hear you. So we only see and hear the people who come up. We do a lot of them. They all go into the replays. So you will get them. It takes about 24 to 48 hours to get them into the replays. Usually 24. We're pretty fast about it, but just so you know. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, maintenance and 20-pound girls.